Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt. Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Before we go to our host, I would like to put out this warning. This show is going to be live, raw, and uncensored, which means if you're one of those who get delicately offended or might hear something that will offend you, turn the show off now. And with that being said, here is our host, Carl Kafer.
Good evening, people, and good afternoon to those on the West Coast. Generally, we're very, very happy to do a show. And today, I think, is an exception to that because we're going to be talking about.
What else is
we're
here?
We're going to be talking about the. Yes.
Who else is here?
I'm getting to that, okay? I'm just saying it's not going to be a real happy show. But being not happy, we're still here. And I'd like to first have Stephen say hello, our host and great poobah. Stephen, say hello.
Hola, ¿qué pasa?
And we'd like to thank the mistress of sci-fi, the wonderful, fantastic Vicky Love for joining us tonight because I know she has a lot to say. Vicky, say hello.
Hi, everyone. I'm sorry that we're all here tonight.
Yes, I happen to agree with that. Now, before we get into the exact thing that happened in Orlando, there's another terrible thing that happened in the same town during the same weekend. And, Stephen, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, this weekend's wonderfulness started out with a singer who was on The View and a fan who just showed up out of the blue, because there really has been no information found on him so far, and shot her as she's walking up off the stage. And she died shortly after that.
And can you tell us anything about the shooter or more information who the singer was and all that?
The singer, she was on The Voice. She was forgetting her legs. She was pretty popular. She was pretty popular live, and she was on the backup for a few songs, but she was like, her biggest thing is that she was on The Voice.
And I think she came in third. I wish I had the name in front of me, but I don't. But that's how the weekend
started. The killer
started.
We know nothing about. We just know that he's some crazy mofo with a knife and a gun that walked up and shot her.
And then shot himself and killed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not forget that. Okay.
And
then,
before
of course,
we get to that, we got to get to the other stupidity, which is they call a white American idiotic redneck going to a gay pride rally in California the day after with a freaking bomb.
No, he
well,
had
not only a bomb.
He didn't have just a bomb. He had the makings to make lots of bombs.
And he had weapons too. He had guns.
All sorts of different guns with all sorts of different ammunition.
And thank God they caught him. That's all I have to say. This weekend was horrific. And, of course, the main reason it was horrific is what happened in Orlando at the Pulse Club, which was a gay club, where a shooter came in and basically had several rifles and several guns and shot 50 people. Now, before we really get into this, I need to say this as a straight person, as someone who is Christian, goes to church, and that I stand completely, unequivocally with the LGBT community on this. I feel your pain, and I'm with you, and I want you to know I'm standing with you. That is the number one thing I need to say at this point. And what about you guys? Are you with me on that?
Yeah, well, I've been disabled all my life. So I know a little bit about the condescending pricks out there and being on the outside and having them basically pat you on the head and say, oh, it's good that you did it. If I had a dollar for every time someone said they were sorry that I was disabled, we'd be pretty much set.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that because Stephen and I share that to a certain degree. And Vicki, I know you're very heartbroken over this.
Well, I'm heartbroken over this for lots and lots of reasons. I have many, many gay friends, many. My sons are also the same age as many of the people who were murdered. And that scares me also because as these things continue to happen, the targets are seem to be the ages of my son. So I'm scared.
The average age, just looking at this page, Vicki, is 25 to 35.
Well, there
you go.
There's
only one person that was over, then there's 140, and there's only one person that was 50.
Right. I read it all yesterday. And so it disturbs me that the same thing, the same mentality of murdering lots of people, this isn't the first time we've seen a nightclub, nor will it ever be the last time unless we get together and do something about it. But anyway, with that aside, it just happened in France where the targets were the young people, the people who went to the soccer game, the people that went to the nightclub, and the people that went to a bistro. So the target of this isn't me. The targets are the young people. And the young people who are actually more tolerant of lifestyle than anyone else on this. These are the things that disturb me. But the biggest, the number one thing that disturbs me about this is, again, it was perpetrated by a mentally ill person, a person who has lost touch with reality. And by losing touch with the reality, there are many, many people around this single person who knows that this person has lost their touch. And yet, it still happens. These are my concerns.
I think
I want to say this. If you're at the point where you hate yourself for your lifestyle or just being you to the point that you want to go out and kill a lot of people because you're so angry, just take the gun in your mouth and kill yourself.
Yeah,
I'm not
advocating
suicide, but if you're that bad, just kill yourself so other people, innocents won't die.
I understand the sentiment. It's it is a very, very difficult thing to wrap around. I think also we have to touch on something too, and it's come out in the stories that this gentleman that perpetrated it, and I'm not going to say his name, okay? You guys can say it, but I'm not going to say his name.
No, we're not going to say his name.
Okay.
His name is really the killer, because I'm tired of every time we have one of these killings, the killer is what's glamorized, not the victims.
I agree.
You hear the killer's name all the time, but then you just hear the victims.
Yeah. And we are switching that here on this show. But one of the things that's come out about the killer, about the person who perpetrated this, is that he looks to be a self-hating gay man. That he went to this club many times and people knew him. And there was a story I read today that someone from his high school who was transsexual back then, you know, he'd come in and joke with him and that sort of thing, and can't believe that something like this would happen. But, you know, there's a question I want to ask the two of you. What do you think would make someone self-hating if they were gay, that they couldn't wrap that around their heads? What do you think is the reason for that?
Well, there isn't the reason. There's lots
of
reasons.
Okay, so tell me a reason.
Like this guy grew up in a family where a Muslim family, and I'm not in the least trying to point a finger at the Muslim community. Not even, no. However, the family tradition was that we don't tolerate homosexuals. And this young man, by all intents and purposes, is a homosexual. And his father actually is on a blog radio and blog news station, and he has a weekly show, and he stands against homosexuality. So this young man has heard this his entire life from his father. And in that culture, you respect your father, you respect your traditions. So self-loathing was built into him from the beginning, from the day that he figured out that he was not like he was supposed to be. So there's one way in which a person becomes self-loathing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Stephen, you want to add something to this?
Yeah, Vicky, I'm just going to take out the word Muslim from everything you say and just put the word religion. Because I don't think many religions are tolerant of gays.
Most
say God is a tolerant of gay if you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the gay was about 1% of it. There were people having orgies all the time. There were fathers laying down with daughters. There were mothers laying down with sons. It wasn't that. If you take it as is, it wasn't a gay thing. It's everybody was doing wrong.
One of the things I want to bring up, and actually, there was a really good post by a friend of mine by the name of Stephen Rissos, who mentioned this. When we talk about religion, and you got to realize, I'm a church organist. Even my work, I work with choir directors, that sort of thing. I work very, very closely in the church and have been for many, many years. And I've always had a difficulty wrapping my head around this because coming from a Christian perspective, I look at it as there's the Old Testament, there's the New Testament, and the New Testament was Jesus' way of showing us a new way. And it basically boils down to one thing. If you take it from the Christian perspective, it's the golden rule. You treat people as you want to be treated yourself. You love God, you love your neighbor, you love the people around you. And
the direct rule is love your neighbor as you love thyself.
Exactly. So,
and if you look at the way people
okay.
act, they hate each other. They hate themselves very much.
But the point is that religion foments all this. It truly does. And what really, really disturbs me and has disturbed me for years is the way that people use religion to marginalize people of either another religion or, you know, homosexuals or gay people. Excuse me, I'm using the old term, forgive me. But you hear this from the fundamental right. You even hear this from the Catholics. And if you think about it, I'm an Episcopalian, or was until I got my job at the Presbyterian Church. But even the Orlando diocese, who is one of the dioceses that does not support gays and does not support gay marriage within the church, even though now it's considered to be legal within the Episcopal Church. It's like there's this hypocrisy. You know, we don't accept you, but, oh, we're so sorry this happened. Well, don't you think you have some friggin' fucking responsibility? Seriously, if you're using religion to hate somebody, then you're not doing it right. That's my soapbox, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But
and I want to say this. It's not as simple as gays. Let's see, the KKK said they were on a mission, said that God told them to do this.
Absolutely.
The Nazis said that they were on a mission compelled by God
to destroy the Jews. Absolutely.
Yeah. There was this T-shirt I seen, it was maybe back in the mid-90s at one of them road show, you know, side of the road gas station things. And I consider it a beautiful thing. It said, God is coming. Jesus is coming back, and he is pissed. And all you religious people, I can really say 90% of you, if Jesus did come back today, he wouldn't have very nice things to say about you.
Hell yeah. I agree. You know, Let's say this right now, because I want to just jump into this.
Yes.
If anyone's listening to us and wants to call in, please do so. And the number is 646-668-2434. We'd love to hear our listeners out there call in and give us some feedback and see how you're all feeling. And again,
and
don't forget,
use 1 if you're not in the 646 area code.
This is true. Use 1. Thank you, Stephen. You're awesome.
But religion is just one part of the brick. There is societal laws, pressure from your friends, pressure to be accepted, pressure to whatever. When someone cries, there's never just one reason, is there, Vicky? When it comes, when someone has a psychological breakdown, there's just no one reason.
Well, a psychological breakdown is completely different from hatred. Hatred is that you dislike a certain thing so much that you want it harmed. You want to commit violence to it. You want it dead. You want it completely eradicated or annihilated. A psychological breakdown is different. Usually the person who has a breakdown, a complete psychological, psychotic break, has lost touch with reality. That makes them extremely dangerous. And they need a place to go. They need a place where we can put them so that they can have help. and they can't be a danger to themselves nor anyone else. But if we look at this whole thing and we say psychological breakdown, murder, hate crime, all that kind of stuff, we're mixing it all up. This needs to be broken down into categories so that we can start understanding and learning and stopping this shit from ever happening again.
Yeah. John Wayne Gacy, a serial killer, said it best. He said, most of the time you're going to have a killer that's a psychological break. But then, and this is the one that most people don't expect, sometimes they're just a bit evil in this world, and that's what causes them to kill it, because they're just evil.
Well, nobody wants to admit yet, except for the wife. The wife just came out and said about this guy, this murderer, that she tried to talk him out of doing what he was going to do. Now, excuse me, lady, I know he beat the shit out of you, and I'm glad that you left him and took the child and everything, but if you knew this was going to happen, and he has a history of the FBI watching him, why the motherfuck didn't you tell somebody? What in the world possesses you that was information for only you? And I'd like to throw that out there to everybody, because I have been in this situation where a mentally ill person has actually tried to commit violence on me and tried to kill me. I do not understand the people that stand around knowing these kinds of things are happening and say, oh, it's not my responsibility, because it is your responsibility. So explain to me that, people.
Well, it definitely goes back into what George Collin called NIMBY, right, Carl?
Right. It even goes back to, who was the woman who was murdered outside the apartment and everybody watched and didn't and
oh,
didn't call
yeah,
her?
Yeah.
Harlan Ellison wrote a story about that.
Exactly.
Yeah. What Carl's talking about is, I forget her name, but she was stabbed outside of apartment building in New York City in the 70s. Stabbed 22 times and slowly bled to death. No one called the police. No one did nothing but stare out the window.
Over an hour, she screamed. Over
yeah.
a fucking hour. You know, and it's funny because that just happened 45 years ago. And I also want to bring up something, too, about the history of violence against the gay community. Because...
Kitty Genovese.
Yeah, Kitty
yes,
Genovese.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to bring this up very quickly. 40 years ago to the date that happened in Orlando, 40 years previous to that, there was an attack on a gay bar in New Orleans, where 32 people died of a firebomb, and they never found out who did it. There are previous, there's of course Stonewall, which happened 44 years ago, and that was the riots, and 6 people died there. There have been numerous attacks on the LGBT community. And it's all fomented by this sense of the other, and that we marginalize them because they're sinning, or whatever the case would be, however, you know, you want to rationalize it. And it is wrong. It
is
wrong.
To me, this is one of the nastier tales. The gay community knew about Dahmer a year before the cops even called him.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. We all fall short, and we all make mistakes. Damn it, we've got to realize that we need to save the innocents. Every one of these people, and we will name all 50 of them, at the end of the show. They're all innocent. They all died. That's fucking wrong. Period. And if you have something that you can save those people, then it's your damn responsibility. Okay, off my soapbox.
And we can go back to AIDS, too. Remember, one of my favorite quotes is, as long as it kills faggots, we don't care about AIDS.
I was in New York City during that. I saw 20 people die of AIDS. I was a pallbearer at 2 funerals. I saw 6 coworkers die. Okay? That was the time where it really, really coalesced that I became an incredible ally of the LGBT community. And the government reaction to that was horrid. Okay, but you know,
well,
the government
just say,
did all the time anyway.
Yeah,
let's not
let's
forget.
Just say, I was 11 when I first heard of AIDS by looking at an old issue of Hustler, my dad's. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even officially a disease until I was pretty much months away of being 20. And we
I
have
know.
A caller here. Don't squirrel.
Oh, good.
Hello, who is this?
Hi, this is Steve Russos. You mentioned me earlier, Carl. Thank you very much for
you're welcome,
mentioning, appreciating my post. I mean, you know, you're talking about a lot of things that I find have some thoughts about. And going back to, like, what's the connection between self-hatred and violence? And, you know, like Vicky said, there's a lot of multifactorial causes. One of them, I do think, is religion. But just sort of in general, you know, there are these strains from multiple religions, mainly the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All within there is this, in places, this very negative, you know, implication about sexuality in general, about anything deviant, anything not having to do with reproduction. And if you look at this from a sociological point of view, it, you know, it's kind of obvious that people were constructing these narratives, you know, to create societies and communities. I mean, it's all about spreading certain patterns of DNA. And so certain communities in certain areas, they would develop these narratives, and it's all about having babies, having offspring. So anything outside of that was evil and wrong. So it's all a big social control experiment, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Not to denigrate anyone's faith. But, you know, where this is a problem, where this causes big problems and a big danger for the entire human race going forward, I think, is that at its core, it's basically, you know, a worship of irrationality. And it satisfies certain aspects of our ego, which is, you know, kind of, you know, a product of our mind process, and it kind of goes back to things deep in our brainstem, in the reptilian brainstem. There are certain things very satisfying, right, to say, oh, well, you know, there's a magic sky fairy that created everything, and you're helping it, and it's going to reward you. And even though, you know, we claim to be a rational culture, most of us, and even though, you know, we say that, we sort of coddle this because mm-hmm. it's like a security blanket. And it's like, but it's an addiction, in my opinion. Our species has this, we're like mainlining religious, we're mainlining irrationality heroin, basically. And we can't stop.
I've never heard it put that way, Steve.
No,
I
kind of
like that.
At a deep level, it makes us feel good. But
well, religion is the opiate of the people.
That's right. Someone else said it a different way, didn't they?
Yes.
But, you know, it's dangerous because at its core, it's kind of setting up a protective zone where there's this irrationality that we are worshiping. It's like a security blanket or a heroin that we're mainlining and we can't stop. And I'm telling you, if we keep doing this, it will be the destruction of the human race. I kind of consider myself an honorary Vulcan. I wouldn't say I'm an atheist. I've had some mystical experiences. I'm convinced, based on my readings of quantum physics, studies of both the science and the philosophy behind understanding the nature of consciousness, that, you know, we're living in a middle of a bunch of mystery. We really don't know really where all this comes from and what it's all about. It's much bigger and larger than we could ever possibly imagine.
I agree with that.
So I accept that, and I think there is more out there, a larger consciousness of some kind that everything came from. But that's about as far as I think my mind can understand. Anything more specific, rules, laws, blah, 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 written down, is just a bunch of society-controlled BS. Anyway, so that's one of the influences. And it's very dangerous for us as a species to continue, you know, mainlining this irrationality heroin. You know, and even rationalists who normally would sort of say, well, I'm an agnostic, or I go to church, but I'm not a fundamentalist, they still coddle this impulse in humanity because we're afraid not to. We're afraid of offending people. Sure, why? But we keep coddling it, and someday it'll destroy us. But so there's that influence. And then there's the influence, then, of course, of family and friends and wanting to fit in. But the process I think happens with these self-hate cases that explode is, you know, like you said, Vicky, at some point they learn that, well, I'm not like everyone says I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not a bad person, but all these people are stuck like a broken record because that's what they learned, and that's what their parents learned, and their parents learned and told them that, oh, this is bad, it's evil, it's wrong. Like a knee-jerk, you know, impulse reaction. It's like it continues over and over again. And so now they're stuck in this whole scheme. Then you lay on top of that, though, this whole irrationality of the magic sky fairy, right? You know, it creates, you know, what's happening is the society, and maybe you think the magic sky fairy, too, is saying, you know, go to hell, you gay, weird, different person on the outside. You know, you're worth nothing. You should die. So the culture, the society, the family, the structure of reality, the magic sky fairy god is telling you you're worthless. Well,
I've always asked the Christians this. They say, don't in the Bible that it says God created everyone after his image, and God created everything and everything on earth. And they're like, yes. And I'm like, well, that means God created gay people. By hating gays, you're hating God.
Right. They just don't seem to get that, you know.
No, no.
But what happens,
can I jump in on here?
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
And that's the idea that, everything, including God, supposedly, is telling them that they're worthless. And so this self that's being, that all, everything around them is trying to squash out of existence, it rebels. And so what's this reaction? Well, to hell with you. I'm going to destroy all your other creatures and I would destroy your whole reality if I could, because you're trying to destroy the real inner me. Now, they don't understand it in that logical of terms, but I think that's the process that creates the explosion of violence. They're trying to get back at the thing, reality itself, in their opinion, that's telling them that they're worthless. And it's the rebelling against it. So they see, oh, yeah, I'll show you reality, God, magic, sky, fairy, whatever. I'll just destroy as much of your stuff as I can while taking myself out, if that's what you think of me.
You know,
what do you think of that,
Mel? I need to jump in here. Just a couple of things.
That's it.
Stephen, one thing I would say to you
and you have to realize that I do consider myself a Christian, but I'm certainly of the Christian left. I'm not fundamentalist, but I would say two things. One thing is spirituality is personal. Religion is crowd control.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's number one. And the thing is, we have to have a personal viewpoint. We got to step away from these narrow views.
Completely.
And I think that's something that you know, those in particular denominations that are accepting the gays, that believe that everyone has this right to come to God in whatever way, I think they do it right. Okay, so I don't think everyone does it wrong. Okay?
No, there are only exceptions to the rule, and that's the reason why we have to keep on moving, is to try to encourage the exceptions and try to make the exception the rule.
Exactly.
One thing I've noticed in my 45 years, I do not know why, but everyone has to have someone they feel superior to.
That's right. A friend of mine posted, my friend of mine, Peggy Roche, who I think is a friend of yours, Carl, she posted,
I absolutely adore that woman.
She's my best friend forever, going back 35 years here in Cincinnati area. But anyway, she made a post about how, you know, the KKK now recently in their rhetoric and meetings and postings has jumped on the bathroom issue and the transphobia. And my quote was to paraphrase a line from the Beatles song, as one of the KKK people saying, "I just need someone to hate." Like you were saying, everyone's got to have someone they feel superior to.
Right.
Or, and sometimes it manifests in people like the KKK, not
so
just superiority, but actual aggression.
So let me ask you something, Steve, because
what I
look at, when I go to an Episcopal church, and I've been an Episcopalian for years, one of the things we focus on is living Christ-like life. So what that means is we are servants to other people. And I try to do that. I try to be as open to people as I can. Okay? And I try to show that to the people around me. And, you know, I get it wrong, trust me. But I make that effort. If we made that effort, if we could take religion and take all this Old Testament bullshit out that everyone points to for reasons for hatred and say, wait a second, you're supposed to be like what Christ was supposed to be like, which was a servant to everyone. You're supposed to sacrifice yourself. Where's your sacrifice? Where are you, you know, why are you not helping the poor? Why are you not doing this? You know, we look at this and we see all this hatred from the fundamentalists. We see all this. And there are those of us that absolutely get disgusted, myself being one of them. And that's what I really am angry about this, that there are preachers out there that are applauding this. You know, and there are governmental figures that are out there that are applauding this. And you've got people, you know, this hatred, and they call themselves Christians. They ain't fucking Christians.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's totally antithetical to a lot of things that are in the books themselves. Absolutely.
Other me, let me say something real quick. 90% of the preachers that we're seeing on Facebook are doing that are coming from Mississippi and Texas.
Not true. There was one in Sacramento.
Most, my man.
Okay, there was the Orlando Episcopal Church, which absolutely just floored me on how they handled.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are not gay affirming that particular diocese. Okay, it really, really is all over, Stephen. It's not.
Oh,
just
I know. It is all over. But in my opinion, from my point of view, as long as no matter how much you couch it, no matter how much you try and soften it, you know, as long as you're telling people, I'm sorry to be blunt. I know you all are religious folks. And I'm not exactly comfortable
not
being in this position. Okay, well, good.
She's with you, Stephen. She's with you 100%.
As long as we're relying on thousands of year old books written before people even knew what science was or really could think logically properly, that were written by people that heard voices in their heads and believed them and did what they said, this is schizophrenia, this is psychosis. Now, there's some good stuff in there that the progressive people emphasize, but as long as you're telling people this is the word of a God of the universe, and you better do what it says, and it's the truth, it's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Words written by humans, in many
Absolutely.
Cases, flawed, nearly psychotic humans, and yet we coddle it. We try and find the good parts, and we be gentle with it and whatnot, and we emphasize the parts that say, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I actually believe in analyses that say if you look through the Bible, really, there really isn't hardly any actual anti-gay statements. And I've read analyses of the Quran that say the same thing, that all of these are messed up translations or people twisting it in certain ways, that those actual sentiment is not really in there.
Yeah, it amuses me that what you said, love thy neighbor, is one of the Ten Commandments. Which,
no, it's not.
If you,
golden rule.
Golden
right.
rule. That,
right.
And then people are like, I'm a Bible-going person, but I hate those faggots and niggers. I'm like, what about the golden rule? Love thy and love your neighbor. Well, I don't want them as my neighbor.
They hate females, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely. But they can always
I'm
find
going
some
like
phrase
literal.
Or statement or verse.
If you go in the Bible and look, what's the reason that we got kicked out of paradise? Goddamn women. What happened to a woman, Jezebel?
They
oh,
can
she got torn up by a dog.
In there.
Who ruined the perfect man, Samson? Damn woman.
They can always find something in there to justify whatever hate they want to justify. There's some line,
yeah,
something
what,
somewhere
that
they can
find. That's
the
scary part, that they
So as long as you keep, you know, holding up this 2,000-year-old book of writing, people who heard voices in their heads who were essentially psychotic as truth, I'm sorry, it's dangerous, and it's going to destroy the human race. We've got to stop. We can recognize it as a valuable cultural history, an ancient book of stories with good lessons, but to be telling people from the time they're little children, this 2,000-year-old book of psychotic rantings is truth, and it comes from a magic sky fairy that can send you to heaven or send you to eternal hell. We're mentally abusing people by doing that. It's not true. It's simply
not true, Stephen.
And it's dangerous.
But,
and it
okay.
will destroy us.
Stephen, when I went to school, and I went for a master's in church music, and I went to a liturgical school, okay, one of the things about the Christian left, and that would be particularly the ALCA, the Episcopalians, the UCC, the Unitarians, we do not think that this is the Word of God. We think it was written by men that was partially inspired by God. But we also know that it is flawed. Okay, the other thing...
Well,
in,
that's
in
an
my,
important
and,
step to recognize that. Absolutely.
Okay, the other thing in the Episcopal Church is that we are encouraged.
Carl.
Okay, I know, but I'm just saying this.
No, we're saying things that are wrong. Father Carl would not even agree with you on that. No, that's why St. Columba's is not the same as it used to be when you
yeah,
lived
here
long ago.
That's because it went
Anglican. Because the Episcopal
Church is
drinking Episcopal. With those ideas.
But I'm talking about the Episcopal Church. There is the one church in there, the Holy Family, which is still Episcopalian, and trust me. Well, but what I was going to say very quickly was that we're also encouraged to use our brains. Okay, we're also encouraged not to take a look at science as the evil. You know, that God gave us brains. God gave us the ability to have knowledge, even if we took it from the tree.
No, but God
The logic and reason came from somewhere for a reason, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, use that.
Exactly. Thank you.
Other me, this is what I have to deal with on nearly a daily basis when I'm trying to get the show together Sunday.
We love you too, Stephen Rodfield. Absolutely.
Oh. But that's sort of where I think all it comes from. It comes in part from these strains in our culture that are not really about any particular church or religion, but are just about this revering of this archaic irrationality because it somehow feels good to our brainstem. And we keep going with it, and we keep mainlining it, whatever you call it, you know, and we keep it up, and it's dangerous, and then it leads to these people that hate themselves, and then they explode because, you know, they're saying, you know, go, you know, they're just rejecting all of it. The whole universe, the God that supposedly created, because it's telling them they're worthless, and then they explode and just destroy as much of it as they can out of pain. And I think that's how it happens.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with you.
It's very sad, and these people are victims if from a certain point of view, you know.
Right.
They didn't ask
as
little children to have this done to their brains, you know. It's very sad. But that's the reality we have to accept. That's what these continuing to talk with irrationality, that's what it causes. And we'll keep getting worse and worse.
Because when you're a little kid, you look at the world and you see the sun and the moon and you see all these things and you're trying to figure it out, and then religion comes in and tells you, oh, no, the big father in the sky created all of this. And you're like, really? And the big father in the sky says that you have to act like this and you have to act like that. And,
Vicky, you're
and
not
the
a feminist.
Hey, as a kid, I was religious. But my father was Greek Orthodox, which is kind of like a weird form of ancient Eastern form of Catholicism. My mother was Polish, and she was Catholic. So as I was growing up in Fairfield, Iowa, they took us to the Episcopal Church. My dad was a college professor, and it was pretty good, you know. So I do have an understanding of the Episcopalian ways, and I kind of like them better than most of the other sort of denominations.
Why, thank you, Stephen.
You know, but one thing I remember, I mean, as young as 10 years old, 9, 8, I mean, I remember thinking, what a crock of BS this is. You know, and look at all these people, and I could look at the people pretending they believed it, but I could look in their eyes and their body language, and at 8 years old, I knew they were acting, sometimes in some cases badly, and yet they play through the charade.
Well, the thing is that they believe that they can do whatever nasty, dirty crap they want for 6 days a week. And then they go into church every Sunday, and they're like, well, I went to church.
Yeah.
That means I'm cured. And what I was saying to you, Vicky, is you're not a feminist because the feminist view is that there is God is a female. So you should say the big mother in the sky.
No. I'm talking about the bullshit about the father. The whole patriarchal bullshit that is foisted upon us from such a little age. The male is the one that we are supposed to look up
and
to.
And you're forgetting the big term. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
But that's only in Catholicism. That's only in Catholicism.
Where is any female prefixes in that? That's what I was saying. Where is any female prefixes?
Because that's not
where are they in Islam? No. He's right.
would. I am a feminist, and if I was to believe in something, I would believe that the whole thing was created by a mother figure. But I'm talking about the bullshit out there. The bullshit is up there on a throne, looking down on us, giving us all
telling people to believe a list of stories and fairy tales, and trying to force them to behave as if they really think it's true. And this creates conflict, a cognitive dissonance, and that drives people insane.
It does. It drives people insane. How many in the history of humanity, how many have been driven insane to, what about the Inquisition? Let's just look at the Inquisition and the thousands upon thousands of lives destroyed because of the insanity of the Inquisition.
On record that was my Spanish brothers, and as a Mexican, we take no claim of anything those crazy Spaniards did during the Inquisition.
Yeah, well, it was all Catholics. So.
Well,
I didn't
want it to get to a general critique of any and all religion, although I could go on about various aspects of that. I understand the impulses, I understand the good parts, and I understand the bad parts. But the topic was supposed to be, you know, the atrocity in general, sort of what caused it and all that. And boy, what a confused picture the whole thing is developing into. And I mean, in some ways, it's been kind of very interesting, and in some ways, oddly useful, the amount of coverage of the gay community. I've heard long, loving talks, just one just this evening on NPR, and others just on the cable channels, people from the gay community talking from their hearts about how, you know, a lot of straight people don't understand how a bar, a place where you just go to get drunk and drink alcohol, and they say, well, no, it's not. It's a place where you can be yourself, and it really is a kind of church for many of us, because everywhere outside we're being told we're worthless. But there, that's the only place where we're accepted. So it really is a kind of sacred, holy space for us. And to hear people talking about this on national,
what do you think about
here for a second? Because I need to say this, because a very close friend of mine who's gay talked about this to me last night. And he said one of the main reasons and one of the things that gives him any bit of hope at all was that 40 years ago when this incident happened in New Orleans, that there was nothing being said. There was nothing being said by anyone. And now you have all this outpouring of support. And he says that's the one thing that makes him feel that there might be some hope. Okay? And
what do you think about what Geraldo said yesterday, which is, why didn't they fight back?
I just posted on that because one of my good friends reposted on Facebook that, and I said, what? The guy had an assault rifle. Oh, what are you going to do? Are you going to rush him or are you going to run to hide? Fuck
Geraldo. Yeah, that's such a ridiculous statement. It almost doesn't even deserve a response. Absurd.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there was one guy who got killed protecting his lover.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If I could ever be as half as, if I ever get in a situation where I can be half the man that he was, I consider myself living a good life.
I will absolutely say amen to that, for sure.
Absolutely, amen. You know, I'll tell you something. The gay community, you don't think about this, but figure this out. Through all the years, how brave have they been? Because they've been standing up for over 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, since the 20s. And then look what happened in Germany in the 20s and 30s. And look what's happened to them all the way through history. And they're still here, and they're still standing up. That, my friends, is very brave.
Well, it's because we can't go away.
we are part of the human family.
Experience.
There's geneticists who have said that, if you look at, sort of homosexual attractions occur in almost all species, actually, number one. So that's an interesting fact. Some people go on about, obviously it's unnatural because if everyone were gay, then we would die out. Well, but we're not. We're a certain percentage. And a lot of times the gay people were the shamans and the people showing people how to understand reality kind of outside the box, which is necessary. They believe that this impulse tends to soften culture and society, tends to be more instructive, and that there's a reason why evolution has ended up maintaining a percentage of gays in the population, even though they don't reproduce. Now, we do reproduce, of course, before we come out, or we have families on purpose via insemination that then, we find a woman to carry the child, and then two guys will adopt, or vice versa with women, et cetera. So, I have another family member who was gay and had a child that way. So, no, we do reproduce just via non-traditional means. But even before those means were available, evolution kind of kept a certain percolating level of gayness in society. And a lot of people speculate it was because it has certain advantages to have a certain portion of your population that elects. So we're built in, No matter what you do to us, we aren't going away. So I think that's part of the reason why.
If it wasn't for gays, we wouldn't have disco music. And for that, I will support them to the day I die.
I'm not so fond of the disco music, however. Just saying.
Some of it is good, and some of it is not so much. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if gays invented disco music. I don't know. I'm not sure where that came from. Now, we may have popularized it a lot.
I think it's from the bowels of hell, but that's me.
Yeah. Could be. Anywho.
Stephen, I want to thank you very, very much for calling in.
Well, thank you very much.
I think you've added a lot to this podcast, and I want to thank you very personally.
Well, I appreciate that. You're welcome, and it's been fun. And I, as you can tell, I enjoy blabbing. So any invitation, you better watch out.
We enjoyed listening.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad.
Very much so.
Hi, Heather.
Thank you for your show, Carl. I had never listened to it before. I've seen your postings and whatnot, and I'll be sure to listen in the future. Good job.
Go to the Video Store archive page on Facebook, and that's where you'll find all of our old shows archived.
All right. I'll check it out.
Again, thank you, Stephen.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good one, y'all.
All right.
Okay. Before we start reading the names out, what's your last words on this, Miss Vicky?
On the shooting itself, or
well, just everything, just where we're headed to. Period.
Okay, I think that there's a lot of wisdom in a song I was listening to today, and it is called "Learn to Be Still" by the Eagles guy.
Henley? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah,
Gray.
Henley. Yes.
Okay.
No, Henley. And it talks about how if we listen to ourselves, just listen and be quiet and stop listening to all that noise out there, we might become more satisfied and more peaceful. And if we could just allow people that moment to do that, to be yourself and be peaceful with yourself, maybe the hate wouldn't drive others to kill.
Absolutely.
And so that's what I would ask. I would ask a more philosophical way of thinking about this right now, and just see if you in your own life could just slow down a little bit and calm down a little bit and spread just a little bit more peace.
That's a really good statement because, you know, one part of the Bible that I do recognize is actually kind of having come from more ancient mystical spiritual traditions like the Gnostics. If you read up on them, have talked about this thing about, you know, turn over any stone and there I am. This is a very mysterious passage, you know, where Jesus says, you know, look in everything, everywhere, and the Holy Spirit is there. And if there's any truth in it, all of this, I mean, I think that's where it is, because that's where true spirituality comes from, like you said, listening to yourself, you know. If it is there, and I do think it is, like I was saying, there's a deep element of mystery that we really don't understand in a lot of ways. But we can come to an understanding through various means about the mysterious nature of reality and consciousness. But it's from within. It's in us, you know. So, yeah. And let it listen to your heart, basically, you know, but at a deeper sort of quieter level. As you were saying. That was a good remark. I like that.
Thank you.
Steven,
yeah,
any last thoughts?
Mr. Do you have any? Yeah, that's what I was asking you, Jeff. Oh, sorry. Do you have any words,
okay,
Mr.
Well,
Episcopalian?
I just think the one thing we need to do, and I think my quote comes from Kurt Vonnegut, and it comes from God Bless Mr. Rosewater. And in it, the main character, Elliot Rosewater, is figuring out what he's going to say at his twin nephews' baptism. And he looks and he says, you know, you basically have maybe at most 100 years here. And there's only really one rule. Just be kind, babies. Be kind.
Yep. Oh, Vonnegut is my God almost. One of my favorite quotes from Vonnegut is what he said he wanted on his tombstone.
Yes.
Life is a terrible thing to do to an animal. He was so full of compassion and understanding. Just an amazing person, an amazing book. Thank you.
Absolutely. Be kind, babies. Steven?
And my final thoughts is a quote from Rudy Ray Moore, which is, as long as I live the life I love and love the life I live, it doesn't matter what you think.
Exactly. And I love Rudy Ray, too. So I think at this point, what we're going to do for the rest of this podcast is that we are going to recite the names of the victims of the Orlando shooting.
Because
and so,
their names need to be remembered, not the killer.
Absolutely. Let's keep all these people in our prayers and our thoughts, lift up good thoughts for their families and for them as they pass on to the next sphere, and let us remember them and the good that they gave us while they were here. Even
and notice
like
the
start.
Ages of the people.
Okay.
They're very young.
Yeah.
And I will start, and after I start, each one of us will say a name. Edward, forgive us if we screw up your last name, people up there. We're trying to do this. We're not perfect elocutionaries.
Especially you.
Edward Sotomayor Jr., 34.
Stanley Almodovar III. I'm sorry, I didn't copy down the ages.
23.
Oh, Luis Omar Ocasio-Cappo, 20.
Juan Ramon Guerrero, 22.
Peter Gonzalez Cruz. Age?
He's 22.
22.
Eric Ivan Ortiz Rivera, 36.
Louis S. Vielma, 22.
K.J. Morris.
There's seven.
Eddie Jamaldroy Justice, 30.
Anthony Lewis Loreno Disla, 35. No, 25. Sorry.
Juan Carlos Mendez Perez.
35. Frankie Jimmy De Jesus Velasquez, 50.
Amanda Alavar, 25.
Martin Benitez Tomes.
Torres.
Luis Daniel Wilson Leon, 37.
Mercedes Marisol Flores, 26.
Javier Emmanuel Serrano Rosado,
35. Gilberto Ramon Silva Menendez.
Simon Adrian Carrillo Fernandez, 31.
Oscar Aracena Montella,
26. Enrique L. Rios Jr., 25.
Miguel Angel Honorato, 30.
Javier Jorge Reyes,
40. Joel Rayon Panagu,
Panaguaya.
Yeah, no, there's an A there. Panaguaya, 32.
Jason Benjamin Jehoshaphat, 19.
Corey James Connell,
21. Juan P. Rivera Velasquez, 37.
Luis Daniel Conde, 39.
Shane Evan Tomlinson,
33. Juan Chavez Martinez, 25.
Daryl Roman Berth II, 29.
Deonca Dietre Drayton,
32. Alejandro Barrios Martinez, 21.
Gerald Arthur Wright, 31.
Ligori Valentin Fernandez,
25. Kevin Eugene Crosby, 25.
Jonathan Antonio Camuy Vega, 24.
Gene C. Nieves Rodriguez,
27. Rodolfo Ailea, 33.
Brenda Lee Marquez McCool, 49.
Yamale Rodriguez Sullivan,
24. Christopher Drew Leonan, 32.
Yeah.
Sorry. Apologies.
Angel L. Caliando Pardo. Padro, 28.
Frank Hernandez Escalante,
27. Paul Terrell Henry, 41.
Akira Monet Murray, 18.
Christopher Joseph Sanfeliz,
24. Antonio Devon Brown, 29.
And the last is Geraldo A. Ortiz Jimenez, 25.
May they all be blessed on their journey.
That every one of them, except for maybe three, were all 19 to basically 32.
Well, there was an 18-year-old. There was an 18-year-old.
Yeah, 18 to 32. They were all just getting started.
The other thing we haven't mentioned, which I we should actually acknowledge with all these names, is that it was Latin night. And so we also lost many, many Hispanic Latino brothers and sisters. And so our hearts go out to that community also.
And there has been this meme that's been going around that says, stop killing people, fuckers. And I can't even touch that. It's perfect. But for every mother whose son died, for every brother who lost a brother, for every lover who lost a lover, for everyone who lost somebody down in Orlando, please hug the one that you love tonight.
Absolutely. And with that, I think we need to say our goodbyes and our last thoughts. So, Vicki, why don't you start?
I got a text 2 hours ago that my daughter-in-law is in the hospital about ready to give birth to my second grandchild. And I do not want my grandchildren to grow up in a world full of hate, where they are scared to be the people they are just because they were born female or whatever. So I just wish that before you perpetrate your hate upon someone else, you stop and you think. Just stop, take a breath, and think. And for all of you out there whose hearts are just ripped apart, I'm with you, and I believe that we can change things. And that's what I have to say.
Stephen?
Oh?
Go ahead. Say your last thoughts.
No, you go, Carl.
Okay. This was a tragedy, but unfortunately, it's not isolated. There are tragedies, it seems, almost every day. I think the only thing we can do, and it's the only thing I can do, is to be a light to the people around you, to love the people around you, and to accept and embrace the differences. To look at people and know that they go through a journey just as tough as you do, and not to marginalize them, but to bring to them a safe place where they can go and a safe harbor. And that's what I want for all of us, that we learn to be safe harbors for those that are marginalized. And I pray with all my heart and all my soul that we can be able to do this and have the strength to do it and the forthwithness, and that we love the people, all the people around us, even though it's hard. And that is what I wish for everyone. Stephen?
And I want to say that it's the people that matter. Please, everybody, stop trying to put your agendas on this. It's about the people that died. We need to let those people heal and not have them have to watch TV and hear from one side we need to ban guns, the other side we need to get rid of terrorists, and just all sorts of stupidity. For once in your life, people, shut up. Because what you need, because there's a moment of silence for people that died. And that's what we need. People just be quiet and reflect and not try to shoehorn it to whatever cause you're following this week. And I would like to say on behalf of me and Carl, welcome to the world, Vicky's granddaughter. What is it, grandson or granddaughter?
Granddaughter. Well, she's not born yet.
Well, welcome to the world, Vicky's granddaughter. You'll probably be born by the time we are Sunday, and just know you have two crazy uncles that love the devil out of you, even though we haven't seen you, and we don't know if we will.
Oh, I will. And you will too, Stephen. All right? Vicky, definitely. Give my love to Kirsten and my prayers and thoughts to all of you out there. And congratulations and many, many blessings.
As we were pulling this together at the last minute, we were trying to figure out what song to end the show with. And I think Carl said that I picked out a perfect one, don't you? Didn't you, Carl?
I think this is damn good. I think this is really good.
And the song is Put You Together by Hot Chocolate. We'll see you on Friday and Sunday, but still, we need to love people, everybody, not hate.
Absolutely. Be kind, people. Be kind, babies. Good night.
Night. Good night, everybody.